many of us think we know what the Jets are doing at number two. What we don't know is really what the Giants are doing at five and what they're doing at 10 and whether or not they stay there, whether or not the Jets stay with their two first-round picks. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this. The intrigue, I think, you know, it's either Arvell Reese or David Bailey for the Jets. There seems to be a consensus building that it's going to be David Bailey, even though if you listen to David Bailey, he goes, I really didn't get to know the Jets. I didn't go to, you know, their facility. I didn't get, you know, it's almost as if, you know, he was like an afterthought and they probably did all the, you know, all the work that they needed to do on him. They know that he's a great kid. They know that, you know, he was at Stanford before he went to Texas Tech and they know he's already ready to go. Like he is what they say is a clean prospect. And what that means, there's nothing. There's no injury concern. There's no psychological concern. There's everything to like about the kid. He's a super kid. And it seems like consensus is building towards him. You know, if they go either him or Arvell Reese, it's fine because both players are going to be really good. It feels like both players are going to be really good players. It just depends on what kind of player do they want. You know, do they want a hand in the dirt, Myles Garrett type player, or do they want a Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, move him around, stand up type of player? And that would be Arvell Reese. So I don't think they lose either way. There will be some Jet fans that will be apoplectic over the whole thing.
Well, there always will be draft, of course.
Exactly. But I will also say that Darren Mooji and the New York Jets, again, and this goes back to last year, I think, under Aaron Glenn, I have to give him credit that things are not like leaking out of the building. And there's really no reason for the Jets to leak anything out of the building because the draft doesn't start until they pick. Because the first pick overall is going to be Mendoza. We all know that. And we all know Fernando's going there. We all know he's going to the Raiders. And it's going to be a perfect pairing, especially with Kirk Cousins there now and Clint Kubiak. I mean, it's just too perfect. So the draft really starts with the Jets. And will they entertain any, you know, trade offers? That's the interesting thing to me. Could that be the fly in the ointment, if you will, that all of a sudden somebody says, hey, we really want this David Bailey kid or we want this Arvell Reese kid and we're willing to give you three more picks? That's also a possibility.
Yeah, but I think because they want one of those two guys desperately, they're going to have to trade back and still get one of them for it to be worth it for the Jets.
Right, and then I see a mock draft for the Giants, and I kind of like it. Now, I'm an offensive player, and I'm a former quarterback. Looks like they, you know, somebody, it was Daniel Jeremiah, I think, did it. And I think he put Jeremiah Love at 5 and Carnell Tate at 10.
Wow.
That would be explosive on offense. But I don't know. I personally don't think that would happen. I don't know. I think the Giants have to go defense somewhere here.
Yeah, so the last mock draft I saw on CBSSports.com this morning is got Jordan Tyson, the wide receiver at Arizona State, at 5 that apparently the Giants really love and Joe Shane had dinner with not that long ago, and he had this great private workout, and they're just in love with this guy, and they're afraid that if he falls until 10 or they don't take him at 5, they're not going to get him at 10. And as Jordan Tyson at 5 and Sonny Styles at 10. Now, if they get those two players, I think that's also something that would be thrilling for the Giant fan. Because, I mean, you're getting a big-time defensive player and another weapon for Jackson Dart on offense in the first 10 picks.
I just think that I just feel like they need speed. And that's what Jordan Tyson brings. I also feel like whether they take Jeremiah Love or Tyson or Carnell Tate, I could live with all three of those guys. Any one of those guys would be a great add for the Giants. But they also need speed on defense. You know, they need to get faster on defense. And that could be Caleb Downs. That could be Sonny Styles. You know, it's just at this point, you know, we all just sit and we wait. We wait to see what these teams do. We wait, you know, and they have to look at the board. Once the Jets pick, then the board starts moving around. And now you know who's available, who you can trade for, who you may, you know, be willing to give up something to get something. I mean, that kind of thing. So once the Jets make their pick, to me, that's exactly when the draft starts, and that's when people start considering trades because certain players are going to drop, right, and certain players are going to rise. And you just never know. There's going to be a surprise somewhere in here in the top 10 that we're not looking at, that we're not thinking about, and it may be a team that is outside the top 10 now as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that where Jeremiah Love goes and who is, for lack, you know, no pun intended, who's in love with him to the point where maybe they trade up to get the guy because they think that he is more than just a running back, because he is. You know, he could be Le'Veon Bell and Le'Veon Bell's prime. You know, it could be Bijan Robinson. He could be all of these guys that catch a ton of passes and add such an element to your offense you can't get from your everyday running back. Is someone trading up, making a trade with maybe even the Jets to make sure that they get him? Do the Cardinals let him pass? I know the Titans are fascinated with him and love him. So I don't think he gets to five, Jeremiah Love. I don't believe that the Giants are going to have an opportunity or a decision to make when it comes to that. I think at some point, you know, either the Cardinals or the Titans take him, or a team trades up with either the Cardinals or the Titans to take him.
And you know, the Giants aren't trading with the Commanders and the Saints, who are right behind them. Could they trade with Kansas City, possibly? You know, if they're going to make a trade with somebody, it's unlikely that it's going to be an NFC team. So if there's somebody that wants to come up and go get Jeremiah Love, if he's there, you know, that's going to be a decision that John Harbaugh is going to make. He's running the draft. He's running the team. He and Don Aponte are running this whole thing. And it'll be interesting to see what his first pick looks like. He's got to be aware of the way that the whole thing went down with Saquon. He's got to be aware of that, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, everybody was aware of it. It was on Hard Knocks off season. I'm sure that he's had many conversations with Joe Shane and John Mara, Chris Mara, and everybody else about how that went down. I mean, yeah, absolutely. This guy knows every detail, John Harbaugh, about an organization, and he's going to want to know every bit of history in the draft that may help him going forward.
And when I think of foundational picks for the Giants, they had their foundational picks in Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And what happened to both of those guys?
A lot of injuries.
And that's the, you know, that's the situation. You know, you never know with a player. You never know whether or not they're going to be able to be available as much as you'd want them. And again, you know, Daniel Jones goes on. And he ends up blowing out his Achilles. I think Indianapolis thinks that they have something there, and it looked like Daniel Jones had found something there. But then you also have, you know, Saquon Barkley, who had that 2,000-yard season with the Philadelphia Eagles and a Super Bowl championship. And I think Giant fans would have loved for him to do that and lead their team to a Super Bowl championship. So that's why, like, you're criticizing for taking him at number two, and then you're criticized for not re-signing him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really where he went and how it worked out, because I was okay with letting him go at that point because of where they were with their organization, but the fact that he was the missing piece for the Philadelphia
Eagles.
And you
got nothing for him.
Right.
I mean, essentially.
It looked terrible. And the fact that it was not even just Saquon Barkley that offseason, it was also Xavier McKinney, who had his best year of his career in Green Bay after they let him go, too.
So this is where, you know, Darren Mooji and John Harbaugh are going to make their money. These are the decisions that will determine the future of these franchises moving forward. And I think Darren Mooji's done everything that you could possibly ask for from a general manager to set the team up. Now it comes down to the decision-making as to who they want as players wearing the Jet uniform. You know, maybe he missed on Justin Fields, but I'm thinking that was more of an Aaron Glenn thing, thinking that Aaron Glenn coached against him when he was in Detroit and Justin was in Chicago, and probably said, you know, this guy's, you know, tough to go against just simply because he goes out there and he makes plays. But then it was obviously a miscalculation, you know, and that was probably the first thing that they did when they decided to get here. That and putting a coaching staff together that was less than stellar. That's what I'm going to call it. And I would say on the offensive side, a little bit green. And very young and just not in tune with what was trying to go on. So they've tried to fix some of these things, and now come the players, and now come the decision that Muji's got to make. And this will determine whether or not he becomes an Idzik, a McCagnan, a Douglas, you know, just and he gets lumped in with all of those guys making bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about the teams in the NFC that have been great for a while, and I know we're talking about the Jets, but the two teams that sort of turned it around and have stayed at the top of the conference the last couple of years, and the Eagles and the Lions, and it's mostly because of what these front offices have done during the draft and then making shrewd free agency moves as well. And I always reference in to the with the Jets, and did you talk about the terrible start that the Dan Campbell Lions had and the terrible start that the Aaron Glenn Jets had, and what really turned it around? Said it a million times. Look at those first couple of drafts there by Brad Holmes. Starter after starter after starter after starter. And Darren Mooji's got that right ahead of him right now. And that is the way to turn it around.
By the way, it started with Armand Membu last year.
Yes.
So they have a foundational player. There's no question about it. And then they have other players that they picked last year that were a little lesser known but did play. And then now comes this year. Now comes the chance to do something really special. And hopefully they win enough that they're going to be around here next year, because next year they will be loaded in the 2027 draft, which supposedly at this point is loaded with quarterbacks. But, you know, but as we've learned, you just got to wait, and you got to wait and see exactly, you know, how these quarterbacks end up playing next year in college. So we don't know that for a fact. We don't know if it's, you know, Arch Manning. We don't know if it's Lenora Sellers. Nobody knows. I mean, literally nobody knows.
Well, I mean, yeah, we don't even know about the guys in this draft, much less the guys in next draft, as far as how they're going to turn out to be professional football players. We've come to learn them, and we know who we like and don't like, but it doesn't. I mean, I never thought that Evan Neal was going to be one of the biggest busts in the world. I thought that was a great pick.
Everybody thought it was a great pick. Everybody thought it was a can't-miss pick, but that's the point. The Vernon Golston pick 18 years ago. I mean, you just never know. You never know when you get the right draft, like you said about the Lions. They're human beings, man. This is not easy. It's not an easy exercise. And the other thing, too, in regards to as this draft has gotten more and more and more popular over the last 10 years, every single team has fans that know these players, that do their draft studying, just like Mel Kiper and just like Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah and Peter Schrager, you know, all the fans out there for all the respective teams all have their sights, that all have their eyes set on certain players. That's what makes these GMs' jobs so hard. I mean, really, if he goes David Bailey tonight, there's literally going to be 50% of the fans are going to be unhappy because they didn't take Arvell Reese. And if he takes Arvell Reese, probably a little bit more favorable in terms of the overall fan base, but there still will be fans like ticked off that they didn't take David Bailey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and if it is one of those two guys that they don't trade out, those two players are going to be compared to one another for their entire careers. That's just the way it's going to be. And Jet fans are going to look back, and if they get the good one, they'll say, thank God we got him. If they get the one who's not as good, they'll say, oh, my God, what a bust. Maybe they're both great, and it doesn't matter. You know, it's just so many.
No, here's the interesting thing. Like, if you compare the draft day for me and Phil Sims, Phil Sims played at Morehead State. I think his senior year, they won three games.
Okay.
All right, and Bill Walsh was enamored with Phil. Rightfully so. You know, George Young was enamored with Phil. Rightfully so. My draft year, you know, I'm like a second-team All-American. I'm in the draft with Steve Young and Randall Cunningham. And it's like all of a sudden I thought I was going to be like a top 10 pick, and I fell to number 38. You know, and, you know, Phil obviously won in the first round. They loved who he was as a person. They, you know, I don't think I was loved as a person. whatever, for whatever reason. But it was really disappointing. And I had two teammates go before me. I had Ron Solt and Pete Koch go before me at the University of Maryland. And Pete was drafted by the Bengals, and Ron Solt was drafted by the Colts. And I'll never forget that day sitting in my dorm room at the University of Maryland, just wondering whether or not my name was taken off a list somewhere. That's, you know, that's how long that felt for me. So these kids, you know, they're all excited, and somebody's going to fall, somebody's going to rise. There's going to be a surprise pick somewhere along the line, and then somebody's going to drop like I did.
Yeah, every single year there's a storyline with that. And, you know, last year was all about Shedeur Sanders. Thank God we don't have something like that happening this year, because that was a storyline going into the draft and then continued for days and days and days.
Well, I mean, like, for him and his personality and the way he carries himself.
Well, his last name and everything else, too. I mean, his whole family.
Yeah, I know. And the fact that, you know, I felt bad for him. I mean, I was hoping that, all right, if you're gonna fall out of the first round because you think you're the best quarterback and you maybe get picked in the second or third, maybe it's a little bit more palatable for you. But the fact that he dropped so far and had to deal with all of that, given all the stuff that was going on the previous 2 years out there in Colorado, that had to be a really, really hard day for him. That had to just be a miserable day for him.
Well, it was really bad when someone pranked him and said that the whatever team was taking him. I think it might have been the Raiders, and he was just someone who found his number.
By.
Yeah, some kids. Joe Ulbrich's son. I remember that, yeah.
The former interim head coach of the Jets, former defense coordinator for the Jets.
Yeah, the Falcons defensive coordinator. Yeah, I remember that whole thing. What a mess.